All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Cole, I'm really glad you showed up because I have an announcement to make.
Okay.
I am pregnant.
Oh, congratulations. How
Thank
beautiful.
You.
Oh, I'm so happy. Well, how far along are you?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I asked the doctor and they said dealer's choice.
Okay.
And I was like, what does that mean? That doesn't seem very professional. and they just said, you know, at some point, you know, you got to start telling your friends and everything. And so, you know, I looked down at my mammoth gut and I was like, oh, you know, there's some kind of baby in there,
yeah,
you
okay.
know?
Yeah.
And so I went online and I was like, how do I tell my friends? And I looked online and one of the biggest things you can do right now are these announcement videos.
Oh, yeah. It used to be announcement photos and you'd find like a cute little setup. But like the announcement video, like, oh, we're going to open up this box and whatever colored balloon comes out.
Yeah, and then they get weirder and weirder, you know, like here's a gun, and if a pink bullet comes out, it's a baby girl, and a blue bullet, you know, there's all these like real weird ones.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's never too soon to start expressing yourself creatively through your child.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too, and projecting, you know, gender norms onto your child.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's extremely good to just to start. Putting that in prenatal.
Right, right.
So I think, you know, those are all well and good. And I think that those are cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so first I thought about doing those. But then I thought, you know, I don't know when this baby's going to come. How about we just do the surprise thing and just see what comes out of my body? Like a human pinata.
Oh,
and
it, cool.
And then we'll just know directly. It won't have to be a balloon. It won't have to be a bullet. You know, it won't have to be like, this one's a Sucrets. Like, this one's a, you know, a Halls. Like, it'll just be, you know, it could be any number of these things. And we'll just hang out and wait and see what comes out of my body.
this one's a Sucrets. This one's a Halls. The way to find out is to shout up there and see if Ricola echoes back.
Yeah, this one's a Ricola. Yeah. So we'll just see what comes out here.
Okay.
Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
I invited you over because my contractions are 60 seconds apart.
Okay, cool. Well, hold on to my hand. We're going to get through this together, buddy, okay?
You know, I really thought this would hurt more. it's not great. It doesn't feel comfortable. It's kind of like, it feels like when you got to take a big shit.
Oh, except this one's going to walk around.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, here it comes.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Oh, I feel that. I feel that.
Okay.
Ooh, this
is taking a while. Can I just reach up there and grab that bad boy?
I would prefer you not, actually.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if I mean, no offense or anything, but it's real.
Yeah.
It's very good night. Okay. Here, wait. Oh, okay. That's not a baby. Here, take this Nintendo 64 cart. Sorry, it's warm. It came from my body.
wait, let me grab
wipe off. There's some, like a lot of like that kind of wax.
You got a little bit of the wax, a little bit of the ambergris here. I've got like a glasses cleaning
some
cloth
royal
here.
Jelly.
Yeah. No, good thing I always wear gloves. Let me soon.
Sluice.
Okay.
Yeah.
It says Rugrats scavenger hunt.
Put it back. I don't even want it.
You don't want this in you?
Yeah, I know, but better there than when it can unleash its war upon the world. I'll carry this burden in my womb for eternity. Fuck.
Time I thought I was pregnant, but my ankles were just swollen.
Yeah. I get morning sickness frequently.
I exclusively get morning sickness.
Yeah.
Like, well, just I mean, we already did the gastrocast a couple of episodes back, but yeah, no, I mean, just a regular function of my mornings, you know, especially when I was going to school or when I had a job, it was like you just wake up and just be just terrified of the day before you, and you have some stummies, and maybe you retch up some bile when you're brushing your teeth, and then and then you get your shit together and you go to gym, first period gym class, like a regular person, you know.
Yeah, especially when you're an adult with a job.
Yeah,
but I like to pop into gym class real quick and then go to work.
Yeah,
so We were talking about this off air, and I'll just repeat it real briefly. Last night, I woke up from acid reflux in a way that like choked me.
So, I mean, it sounds like you experienced like full on GERD. Like you were playing some hurdy gurdy music there.
I did GERD it up, but that's never happened before. I've had acid reflux at night before. You know, that's just kind of, and I've checked in with my doctor about it, and they haven't been like, you know, get Prilosec, you eat like a baby. Like they were just, you know, oh, you know, you're getting old.
This is just a thing that happens now.
Yeah, over the counter is fine for what the severity you're describing.
Yeah, I mean,
to head off straw man, like I don't eat like a monster,
right?
But last night I ate some Thai food.
Okay,
I never had before, and it was like a pho like dish, but it felt like it was filled with meats that were used to flavor a broth that but should have been strained out.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like really fatty bits of pork that like it was like almost too authentic. Like it felt like, oh, this doesn't, you know. I get pho from the place that's a little bit, you know, less authentic than this, and it's
right. So you think you walked into a place that was so authentic that they put stuff in the broth that you were not supposed to eat, but you thought, maybe, hey, this pork is possibly here, so I'm going to eat it. Like, well, no, that's pork.
Yeah, because it had a little bit of like parsley pork.
Okay.
And it just, I don't know if I was supposed to eat it or not, but it's just like too fatty, and then there were like meatballs in it, which this happens every time I get pho with meatballs, where they're just kind of unidentifiable meatballs.
Yeah.
It's my least favorite part of pho. Like, I think they're really gross. Like, those, like, the Thai or Vietnamese meatballs, I think, are really gross. But, but I ate it, and it was something was off, and I just kind of felt off and went to bed with a really bad headache. And then just in the middle of the night, like, literally was, like, you know, gasping because I had a rapid acid reflux.
So, I mean, that sucks. That's terrible. I've experienced that before. Is this a Thai place that you had been before? And follow-up question to the first one there, do you intend to eat at this Thai place again?
So I've been there before only once, and it was like fine. Probably not. I'm probably not going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time was not good enough, and this was not like some parts of this meal were good and some parts were bad.
Right.
But it's kind of the trick is, I don't want to name it, but it's kind of a nice place.
Ooh.
Like it's I went on a date, and it was, you know, kind of a nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, its reputation is perhaps unearned.
Yeah.
In my experience.
Yeah. So definitely don't scuttle this place. Like don't say the name of it. 'Cause it sounds
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Burger King. Okay.
I got my pho at Burger King.
I got some pho from Burger King. I said, make it out of whatever you have. Listen, I'm the king now.
Yeah. And I went back for breakfast and I made myself a mimosa.
Yeah, out of whatever they had.
Here, yeah, you know, Mountain Dew and Sunny Delight.
Yeah, yeah. Put this behind the shake machine until it becomes booze. I want this to carbon.
It's
homemade kombucha.
It's like Andy Dufresne said, all it takes is pressure and time.
Yeah, exactly.
Pressure I want and time.
Give me your liquid diamond, King. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
The Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games, so you don't have to.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, this is extremely bad. So, I hate this.
This is no good at all.
I hate this.
So this week, like you heard, we were talking about Rugrats Scavenger Hunt. This is another Duckstream demand. Our friend Melty Goblin says, I loved Rugrats as a kid, so I begged my parents for the new Rugrats video game. I never really figured out the mechanics as a kid, but it had my favorite cartoon characters in it, so I played it. Enjoy these terribly explained mechanics and horribly slow pace.
Just these models. Like everything. It's God, the Nintendo 64, you poor little system. Like everything looks like a monster on you.
Uh-huh. Well, especially the Rugrats, which have the, you know, that classy Supo design, which, I mean, even in their native format, still look like monsters.
Rugrats are very unpleasant. It's a lot like if, like, instead of becoming babies, embryos were just born. What if a bunch of zygotes had adventures? Yeah. Is kind of what the Rugrats are like. It's real gross. They all have gigantic heads and like thin spindly bodies.
Yeah.
This is
why all like biohazard containers have latches, so that way the material inside doesn't, you know, congeal into a Rugrat and then climb out.
Get out and cause adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dislike the Rugrats quite a bit. Like even as a kid, I was like, why would I want to watch a show about babies? Like this doesn't seem cool. And then the game makes them more horrifying and puts them in a bad Mario Party ripoff.
Yeah. So, like, I get the idea of, like, oh, we want to have, like, a hyper-grotesque animation style. But still, there's something kind of baffling about the idea of taking things, babies, which we as humans are pretty much, like, it's hardwired for us to at least, like, look at those and go, aw, and want to, like, protect that and keep it safe. I look at a Rugrat and I think, where do you keep the fire at? Because I need to put this in the fire.
I want to put this under a carpet and move.
Right.
You know, like, I'm going to leave this for the next, I'm going to put this on a wall.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave this for the next tenant.
Yeah, Chucky's the landlord's problem now.
And Bride of Chucky. Yeah. Who could be Phil or Lil?
Yeah.
I don't know. Phil and Lil are the worst of them. Let's go through the five Rugrats.
Yeah, let's go down the
Rugrats
line.
Countdown. Yeah. Top five.
Top five in no particular order. Out at the front of the pack, we have our Leonardo, our fearless leader, the supreme leader, Tommy Pickles.
Yep. So Tommy Pickles is just kind of like a flesh mound on spindles, kind of like a War of the Worlds, but biological. You know,
Tommy Pickles is like the it's the third frame in an Animorphs transformation between, let's say, a puddle and Charlie Brown.
Yeah. A person and a pile of mayonnaise.
And mind you, most mayonnaise does not pile that well.
No. You have to get it real quick.
Yeah.
But the Animorphs work fast. So he's very gross and he's very bland.
Right.
You know, then we got Angelica. And Angelica is not a baby.
Angelica is a toddler. And I think she uses her additional worldliness and also physical mass to kind of be a tyrant to these little babies.
She is the controlling monster with her full head of hair and is really mean.
I think
babies and you know, when you're a baby, you don't get a choice who you hang out with.
Right. Yeah.
You just hang out with whatever you're next to. Like when I was a baby, I hung out with a box man a lot. There were tons of pictures of me and my buddy.
You know, it's always nice to have cool friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Different degrees of cool.
Yeah. Angelica is, I believe it is Tommy's cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got the nerd.
We got the nerd.
Do you have more on Angelica?
No. So Angelica, when I described her as a tyrant, I also forgot that in the Rugrats version of the story of Moses and also the story of Passover, she is literally the Pharaoh.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, especially for... So what part of that is for kids? Like, I don't understand, like, how that was ever supposed to be appealing. Like, here's a bunch of babies that talk, but also they're pretending to be the Bible, like pretending to be Passover. And you're supposed to be like, yeah,
you know, I mean,
fuck yeah, I'd rather watch this than like Ninja Turtles.
I mean, so this is going to sound kind of crazy. Like that was my first real exposure to like Jewish tradition or whatever. Like we learned, like, we just kind of like brush over that stuff in Sunday school, but like oh, okay, so there's another religion and they do stuff and they worship like this, whereas we worship like this. Oh, like, look at me, I'm praying.
I think that for me, probably just because of the age difference, I got that a little bit later. And I think that even my first like kind of real understanding of Judaism at all, to the degree that I noted Jewish scholar, like I don't actually understand it that much, but was probably Simpson stuff. It's probably Herschel Christofsky and his dad, like the rabbi episode from the second or third season.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was 11 or something like that. So it was a little bit probably later, but it, you know, it wasn't, it had appeal because it was in a package in a Simpsons form. It wasn't like these gross babies acting out.
Nickelodeon did that quite a bit. Like, I think that Hey Arnold was a little bit more equipped for that because that was already about a multicultural group of, you know, kids growing up in basically a poor neighborhood in New York. You know, like they had their own version of like, oh, Harold's having a bar mitzvah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not against them portraying that on a cartoon. You know,
no, but I mean, the Rugrats are definitely,
you know, the answer could just be like little Jewish kids who want to see Passover shit.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
I get that. Like, it's not like I want to see them act out with Santa Claus either. Right. I just don't want to see them.
Right. I'd rather they didn't.
Yeah. Rather they weren't.
Yeah. But we got the nerd.
Whose name is
Chucky. Chucky Finster.
Chucky Finster. Who's got also a full head of hair, but is somehow younger than Angelica. And glasses, like a full set of glasses, which like
I like a baby glasses on a baby.
Does it happen that often? It seems like a real mistake. Doesn't it? Like a baby's gonna bite those and
yeah,
you know, or he's gonna lose them or step on them or do baby shit with them.
I think
know?
He's supposed to be slightly older than Tommy is.
Yeah. But when they put a pin in that,
because
okay. we'll get to that in a moment. And then you got the fucking twin nightmares of Phil and Lil.
Oh yeah, they want you to come play with them forever.
Shit, Phil and Lil. I was surprised watching this. How like I forgot how scary Phil and Lil were. Jesus Christ, man! Like the just like two identical little bald you know monsters, which is like you know little beady little eyes and blank little faces.
Yeah.
Sometimes in unison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So speaking in unison and also speaking with effectively the same voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're the twins. Those are the five Rugrats, and there's a host of adults who suck. But I was gonna say what I said. Put a pin in it. I didn't know until I was doing research for this about All Grown Up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. All grown up.
I didn't know there's a thing at all. And All Grown Up shows Tommy and Chucky as being the same. So I don't think he is supposed to be older. I think he just went through like hyper baby puberty. Hyper puberty. Really fast and got that full head of hair and glasses. Like
he developed those cataracts. He looked into the sun.
Yeah, just he looked at he stared into the face of God too long.
Yeah.
I think they're supposed to be the same age based on that. And that show seems really misguided and lasted for way more seasons than I thought for something I didn't even know existed until this morning.
Three seasons?
No, four. Like the episode I watched was like season four, episode 19 or something.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a lot of All Grown Ups.
You watched an episode?
I watched part of an episode. I watched the opening credits and like the setup. Yeah. I didn't watch the whole episode. I just like saw it in the Rugrats wiki this morning. And it's just like, All Grown Up. What the fuck is All Grown Up? And then like, yeah, it's like, what if the Rugrats were 13? Which doesn't, I think that would address my main problem of like, why do kids want to watch babies? But, you know,
yeah.
I guess it kind of. So it makes sense.
Yeah. So I think that nominally on paper, what Rugrats is selling itself as is a little bit of a like a diluted version of Muppet Babies, right? You know, you're not dealing with like a tiny compact baby Kermit here or what have you. Instead, what you have are the adventures of these babies with their imagination and just looking at them like, well, like, when a baby looks at the world, what do they see? And they say what's wrong all the time, and they think, you know.
There was like Baby Mania, because this was contemporary with the Look Who's Talking movies.
Oh yeah, yeah. You forget it. You forget Baby about Mania. Look Who's Talking. Like those. Look Who's Talking. That's a Randy movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the horny baby movie. Yeah, and then there's Look Who's Talking 3 as well with the other baby that's voiced by Roseanne, I think.
Ooh yeah, and then there's Look Who's Talking 4 Super Babies.
Yeah, baby geniuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was just kind of weird like baby mania that went on for a little while. There's also like Baby's Day Out in the early 90s.
What?
Yeah, you know Baby's Day Out, right?
I mean, it sounds familiar, but it also sounds like a Seinfeld movie that is meant to, you know, sack lunch.
Yeah, it's a baby 1994. It's essentially like a baby gets out and crawls through New York, and like the kind of Mr. Magoo's it. Like doesn't get murdered.
Yeah.
The premise: Baby Bink couldn't ask for more. He has adoring, if somewhat sickly, sweet parents. He lives in a huge mansion, and he's just about to appear in the social pages of the paper. Unfortunately, not everyone in the world is as nice as Baby Bink's parents, especially the three enterprising kidnappers who pretend to be photographers for the paper, successfully kidnapping Baby Bink. They have a hard time keeping hold of him. So it's like he gets kidnapped and then spends a bunch of time like walking on girders and shit in New York.
Right.
And not falling. And that's Baby's Day Out. It's a little bit like Babe Pig in the City, but for a baby.
Right. Huh. So this was written by John Hughes.
Yeah. How the mighty have fucking fallen. Like,
I mean, like let's chart this. Let's chart this. The trajectory of this plummet from Home Alone to, oh gosh, Drillbit Taylor, his final movie.
Or shit, or even like Home Alone. I mean, from like The Breakfast Club.
Oh yeah,
Pretty in Pink. Like,
I say Home Alone? I meant Vacation.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, because Baby's Day Out is like an expansion of the Home Alone formula.
Oh yes, yeah.
Specifically.
Which is a terrifying formula because you don't want bad things to happen to kids.
No, yeah, yeah, I can't handle.
Yeah, you know. I'm going to keep my kid as far away from Joe Mantegna as possible.
Yeah, yeah. The only time my kid's going to meet Daniel Stern is in heaven.
And when I deal the last blow to Daniel Stern, I'll look him in the eye and say, "You're gonna meet my kid up there.
You're my son's godfather now." Wait, what?
Five Sterns you meet in heaven: Howard, Daniel.
Oh man!
Yeah, you open an account at Bear Stearns. I don't.
Buddy comedy of those two, and your baby, like them having to watch your baby in heaven. Like, hey, baby, show us your tits. Like, sir, I'm a child. I don't have tits, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so video game for Baby's Day Out. They planned one for the SNES, Genesis, and Game Boy, but it was canceled at the last minute. Mm-hmm. There are prototypes that came out. One is near completed. Instead of playing as Bink, players control what appears to be Bink's guardian angel to guide Bink to safety in the vein of Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. not interesting enough to be like something I want to do.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah. We should talk about the actual game of this, though, because just like there was a Baby Mania in the early 90s, in the late 90s, every goddamn thing had to be a party game, had to be a board game.
Yeah, and I'm going to go as far as to say that I've never liked these.
Yeah.
Not to try to be contrarian and cool. Like, I just think I don't think Mario Party games are good. Mm-hmm. I think that they're kind of unquestionably the worst thing with the Mario prefix.
Yeah.
You know, like, I will play Mario Soccer, you know, 1,000 times before I'll play Mario Party, any of them. Right. I think they're all pretty bad.
Yeah, and always have been. It's not like they used to be good and then they were bad. Yeah. They've kind of always been roughly the same thing.
The narrative is that they got... But I don't really think that's true.
No, I remember renting Mario Party thinking, hey, it's going to be a Mario game, and being sorely upset. And I didn't learn enough. And one year I said, hey, can I have Sonic Shuffle for my Dreamcast? So Sonic Shuffle is a video game that's on my shelf.
Yeah. And also probably about the same quality, because all of these board game games, there's a I had brief hope when it came out, and I played the demo of Fortune Street, like the Square Enix.
Oh yeah.
When do you remember that? And it's also not good. Like, I don't think any of these are good.
No.
And we had to say board game games, because party games like includes Jackbox stuff, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I made. I think Mario Party. I say party games because of Mario Party. Wow, yeah. I had no idea that Fortune Street was a thing. You got slimes playing around with Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep, I sure did.
That
the it's not good though. I mean, don't
right.
looks cool, but it's not a very good game.
Right, right.
This one, so it's a board game. It's from Board Game Mania. And you get this little framing sequence of the kids just kind of farting around, like talking about what to do, getting confused about a boring game versus a board game, because that's the level of like humor we're working on.
That classic Rugrats malapropism.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you have three different board games you go to. And I want to do a quick segment of Wikipedia said it worst here. This game features three game boards. Angelica's Temple of Gloom, in which has an Aztec setting. Pirate Treasure Hunt, in which the babies scuba dive underwater to find hidden treasure near a sunken ship. And Reptar Rally, which is the only stage that changes the babies into dinosaurs.
Resembling the form of Reptar.
Reptar. I just love that it's the only... Oh, thanks for letting me know that they're not dinosaurs in the other ones. You know, like, what a weird sentence. It's the only stage.
Yeah, specificity is important, especially in reference text.
Soul of wit. The assumption is these babies are going to turn into dinosaurs.
Yeah, just like in a moment's notice.
Unless you tell me otherwise.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of a sudden, babies that can turn into dinosaurs for no reason. I'm kind of into that.
I think it should be a lottery system. You know, like, you should get the Powerball, and that means your baby turns into a dinosaur.
Oh, okay. Know? So a lottery system determined which ones turn into dinosaurs,
which one's a sacrifice. So they're for the good of all the babies.
So the gods will smile upon us, and but no.
So SIDS actually stands for, it's like sacrificial infant.
It's a sudden infant dinosaur syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh God, I feel so bad laughing at something even in the same neighborhood as SIDS.
I just think of it as like the SID from Maniac Mansion.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
No. And I yes, that was the regular music on accident. I realized it partway through. So
Ah, that's fine.
save your tweets. So there's those three boards. None of them actually are. So they we say this is a Mario Party ripoff. There aren't so many mini games of them. They're just kind of board games.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have the like who can tap the fastest, which is what I associate with Mario Party.
Right. So this is all of the. It's a picture Mario Party and then take away the games from it.
Yeah, it's just a video board game, so you can watch like these really terrifying Nintendo 64 era animations, graphics while playing a pretty bad board game.
Yes, yeah.
Like three pretty bad board games.
I didn't fire up the other boards, but I imagine they must have similar kind of things or similar mechanics where you are trying to land on search spaces and then picking an object in the room to check and see if it has the item you're looking for.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what they are in different kinds of permutations, right? So like I watched videos of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't play all of them, but I watched videos of all of them, and that's pretty much what it is. And you do you try to set back your opponents, like you have like Candyland style.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. You also have either adult characters. I'm talking about the Aztec one, or your antagonist character who goes around taking your cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And after every turn, you get to hear the same little voice clip read in the same voice.
You know, if you're a huge fan of like the Rugrats and these voice actors, because this does have the actual voice actors.
In it.
So like if that's for you, then this is, you know, I could see some of the appeal perhaps.
Yeah.
But not you know. I still don't think it's very good. It's just that you just want to see the colors and shapes that you like.
Yes.
You know, and sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. An action-packed joyride.
Hmm. Yeah, I neither. You know.
No, I just
it's pretty rough. I wanted there to be a little bit more to like story stuff in this because that's like what's really horrifying, but it's so boring.
Yeah. Like pretty much everything is inspired by like half a story that the grandpa told in between bouts of like narcolepsy.
Yeah.
Like just he'll be like halfway through a sentence and then the kids pick up with the rest of it.
Yeah. They kind of figure it out and they're like, well, what if Reptar was in it? It's like, that's your fucking solution for everything, Tommy.
It's called imagination. Goddamn it. Show some.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. Like you compare this to Muppet Babies earlier, and like, I think Muppet Babies is legitimately pretty good.
Uh huh.
Like, I think it's and not just because I watched it as a kid, but like when I watched it as an adult, my ex-wife was a Muppet, super big Muppet fan, and like would put on Muppet Babies like while cleaning the house or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, bought that DVD set. So I've watched Muppet Babies episodes in the last 8 years, right? And Muppet Babies is pretty funny, actually, and way cuter. Like the character, like the Muppet, the titular babies are very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And they just get into weird pop culture stuff. It's a little bit like a dry run on like Animaniacs or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Tiny Toons or anything.
Tiny
that.
Tune, yeah. It's got a little bit of that like self-referential, like what if we were in this property, jokes about pop culture in general.
Yeah.
Like movie pastiches, things like that.
Taken to the maximum with the Let's Play Pretendo episode. For me,
yeah,
an episode that I saw once when I was a kid, and then I thought, wait a minute, I need to see that again. And every time Muppet Babies would come on, I watched it just to see if it was that episode, and it never came on, to the point where I thought that episode didn't exist until a late night Google revealed the entire thing.
Yeah. It's in that episode, Kermit says like he decides to give up on his dreams of making games at the end because he's like, I thought I wanted to make games, I just realized I just wanted to play them. And I think that's actually like a very kind of mature conclusion to come to. Like, actually, this is tons of work.
Yeah.
Just because you can cook doesn't mean you should open a restaurant.
Right.
You know? So I love that episode. And I think that show is really good and is a great contrast to this show, which I think is not super good.
Right.
It's less imaginative, less cute, less funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always like the whole block on, we talked a lot about like the Nicktoons block. At various points, and I'm coming to realize that I always thought that I liked Nicktoons block, but really I only liked Ren and Stimpy and Rocko's Modern Life.
Yep.
Everything else I thought was actually really bad,
Yeah. And maybe because of the age gap or whatever, I give oh gosh, hey, Arnold and Doug a little bit more credit, but like there's plenty.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Doug. I like Doug too.
Yeah.
About Doug. So I guess I like more of them than I like half of them, but
right.
There's also, what was the Eureka's Castle? Or Eureka's Castle?
Oh yeah. I remember watching Eureka's Castle. That felt juvenile even for me.
Yeah. It's a puppet show. It's a weird medieval puppet. I need to pull up some Eureka's Castle. We gotta find a Eureka's Castle video game. Because I gotta pull up some YouTube of that shit.
I said that's juvenile even for me, as though I'm talking about me now.
As if you weren't five.
Right. Yeah, it felt juvenile when I was of the age when I'd be watching like Nick Jr. in the afternoon. Not that morning shit where he had Face coming up there patronizing you.
Yeah. David the Gnome. David the Gnome snooze 20 minutes. Like, what if a loving husband existed with a wife?
Yeah. I'm supposed to believe that such a fantasy exists as a small child? Come on.
And it's produced by Sex Monster by Weinstein.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we talked about that.
I just throwing that trivia back in there just to just to salt the earth for any David the Gnome fans.
just throwing down those caltrops behind us as we breeze on past.
There's some good game fact stuff going on in this.
Is there? I took a look and I didn't see anything that particularly stuck out.
Well, I got something for you.
Okay.
This review by Matthew 1986 called Rugrats Scavenger Hunt isn't the best game, but it's still nice. Is the name of the review, which I was like, okay, this might be worth it.
Okay.
And this isn't new. You know, I think we're past the point where we're like, it's gonna be very rare that we find truly new game fact stuff.
Uh-huh.
But some of these sentences are really good. Introduction. I just got this game 2 days ago, and I got to say that I am enjoying it very much. I'm 20 years old and I enjoy these types of games. It reminds me of Mario Party. This game is fun with more people playing as well. It's like Mario Party, more enjoyable with other people playing. So, you know, yeah, I feel like you could probably edit that down.
Yeah.
Keeps kind of going through. He keeps saying like popping. So the beginning of the gameplay, that intro, the gameplay and the replayability thing begins with the sentence, I very much enjoy this game. And then the overall section says, it's a great game personally. Besides the graphics and lack of levels, it could be better though, but it's all right. Like, what are you talking about? How is this a summation? It might be better if you have friends to play it on this though. I don't mind it personally to play alone on it, but it's kind of similar to Mario Party games, but has less features and less enjoyable. It's still good, but it's not as great as the Mario Party games. If you haven't tried the Mario Party games yet, then try those out. If you like those, try this. So it's just like, it's very like, it's great. Personally, could be better. It's all right. It might be better if I don't mind it personally, but it's less enjoyable, but still good, but it's not as great. So those are all the different, it goes through all those different beginnings of sentences.
He's having an argument himself.
He's having a real rough time. Yeah. And the reason why I feel okay picking on this guy is that his name is Matthew 1986. So I assume he was born in 1986.
Yeah.
And he says he's 20 when he wrote this.
See, that's the
thing.
So it's
not like a little kid. He's an adult. Like, I'm not saying a 20-year-old needs to be held to the same standards as me, a lofty 37-year-old.
Oh, but yeah.
I just, a 20 is old enough to know better than this.
For sure. I don't know why you would. I don't know why you would declare age at the front of something like this, because it can only be counted against you.
Yeah. Or you should just be like, I'm 7.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what.
Yeah. At that point, you know, it doesn't matter how well the bear's dancing. I'm impressed with the bear's dancing.
Exactly. Here's the storyline paragraph here. Basically, it's based on the Nickelodeon cartoon series Rugrats. The storyline in this game can get repetitive. Basically, Grandpa Lupin begins reading out the storybook to kids. He falls asleep, and the babies look inside the book, and their imagination becomes the game itself. And basically, the objective is to get all the puzzle pieces before Angelica does. The game will start out on a game board similar to Mario Party, which Angelica is there to steal cookies and puzzle pieces. She kind of reminds me of Bowser from the Mario Party games. And there's other characters to help you along the way, like Grandpa Pickles, Susie on some boards, and you get to ride Spike around sometimes in most cases. It depends on if they're in the same room with you. Anyway, if you have watched Rugrats before, this game reminds you of it greatly. I take 2 points off, though, because the storyline can get boring. My final score for storyline is 8 out of 10.
Wow.
It's just really good paragraphs from this guy. Like,
yeah, that's
good work.
That is an ace paragraph, especially one that includes the word basically twice within two sentences.
The nerd, I mean, it appears like four or five times in the whole thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is really, really laying out that like he's not going in depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that's not the most flattering vocal tic to have. I've known people like that. I'm sure that vocal tics can come in phases, right? I'm sure that I have like leaned on that a little bit too much, but that's one that comes out of the oven condescending. So. Yeah,
I'm stuck in a essentially mode. And essentially is not great either. I just think I've switched to it because I got sick of saying basically.
Right, right.
You
know? Yeah. If I find myself, if I see a basically Tetris piece coming down the pike, I try and rapidly rewrite that sentence in my head to just say the point as opposed to teeing it up like that.
Yeah.
But not everybody.
You want to cut that stuff out.
Right, right. You know, and it's not like this person, you know, wrote this out before they typed it and could have gone back and read it again.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. I mean, the stakes are very low. It's a game facts review.
True.
It's just, you know, it's just funny. Also on the message board, there's Yogos, who has two different topics that say a baby's got to do what a baby's got to do. One of which just says, yeah, dot, dot, dot. And the other one says, yeah, dot, dot, dot. And then he replies to himself by saying, Phil was my favorite. So.
Why would you? I mean, probably because Phil's the grossest.
Yeah, he could have been like, he thought it was a garbage pail kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's an easy mistake to make. Matthew 1986 is still hanging around. Matthew 1986 is very active as of 19 hours ago on the WWE SmackDown. SmackDown versus Raw 2006 board.
PPV prediction game. Possible spoilers. He's got his AV is Barry from the remake of Resident Evil.
And his banner image is just Dragon Ball Z. It's just the words Dragon Ball Z.
He's a sage, though.
Yeah, he's reached. He's karma. He's reached the lofty.
Ah, sage.
Ah, yes. Please confer upon us your wisdom, Matthew.
Four and a half hearts to Resident Evil Outbreak.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Because, I mean, that game is not, you know. That's an interesting game.
And it's not a 4.5 stars, though. Like that's
that's pretty rough. And then Mario Party 5, he only gives a half his Mario Party 5 review, which has 4 stars. The title of the review is, I think I'll also give this one 5 stars. What's going on, man?
Hey, Matthew, are you okay? Oh, my God. Have you seen? Look at the Mario Party 5
text.
The text. How many headings this guy's working with?
This guy's good. It's really incredible. The very first sentence. This is my very first Mario Party that I can really say I own. Stop qualifying that. Like, no. Who do I ask to find out, Matthew?
I'm not like walking up and down the aisles like asking to see your ticket. Like, wait a minute, can you show me the receipt for that Mario Party 5, buddy?
Here comes our good friend Basically also comes back as well.
Ooh, basically, so single play on here isn't the best thing you want to look out for.
Gameplay. This is the point of it here. Basically, if you got friends or siblings, you're going to be enjoying this very much. I'm 20 years old. And man, I think anybody can get into this. Basically, it's just a like from the old Mario parties, but a huge improvement. And I enjoy it very much. Stop. You don't have to keep saying how much you enjoy it. I'm starting to feel bad because these ticks are like, yeah, I hope he is not, you know, somehow not with it.
Right, right.
I hope this is bad writing that I'm making fun of.
They're written mostly within the same kind of like span, though. Like the this is running from 06 to 07.
After a terrible car accident.
Oh, God. Like
as someone relearns to type. After having one side of their body paralyzed is that span.
Wow. So all of these, all of these message board posts are like, well, it's all him mostly, but then he's like setting up these bonus questions, like with these hypothetical matchups between the wrestlers. And then also like writing out the way he sees them going.
Okay, but he's not having a conversation. It's him kind of doing that to himself.
It's what it looks like. SmackDown versus Raw social rules.
Man,
that can be wagered on one match. Go ahead.
I'm just saying this is a lot of post where he's he's done this.
Yeah. I don't understand, Gary.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm currently playing Resident Evil HD Remastered, though.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Yeah, this is intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is another argument for that GameFAQs documentary.
This is just want to get up on this guy's face.
Something we didn't mention, just because I'm starting to feel bad about Matt. We move on. This is developed by Real Time Associates, which is one of my favorite bland names for a developer.
Oh yeah, I forget what else have they done in the past.
A bunch of bullshit. Like, it's all licensed garbage. But yeah. I just love that they're called Real Time Associates. Yeah. Like, associates is such a good bland word. Like
manufactured solutions. Oh yeah, they did Iron Man, Exo, Man of War. Yeah, we've done a couple of Real Time Associates things. I always I associate their logo with Bug, which is a game that I had on my Saturn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. No, which, they did a bunch of stuff with Klasky Supo, actually. Like, they did the 16-bit version of Real Monsters.
Yeah. It looks like they did the ports of Captain America and the Avengers, which I think are probably, like, I like those games.
Oh.
So the old Avengers arcade game.
Yeah. How was that in arcade the weekend?
Loom for the TurboGrafx-16.
They ported Loom?
And they ported Maniac Mansion for the NES. Or helped. It's in their credits, it looks like.
Yeah.
So they did the NES port of that. So
So they touched your favorite game.
They did. Yeah, they did. They had some touch. And Magic the Gathering Battle Mage, which is a game that I have a weird affection for.
Yeah.
Weird career of these guys. Mostly shit. I'm not gonna give them. Oh, they did Warlock, which we did, if you recall that orb favorite.
Oh yeah. Oh, Barney's Hide and Seek. Yeah, well, we like that. Yeah, we have definitely covered a large amount of their catalog.
We were Real Time Associates.
Yes.
So, I think I might be out of Rugrats.
I think so too.
AKA milk from titties. Rugrats juice. They breastfeed.
Yeah, of course.
Not gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
I presume. I mean, they never show it, but it's implied.
I think that it's I don't know, I can't remember specific jokes, but I definitely remember them at least nodding to that. Nodding to the difference between like one of the mom's breastfeeds and the other one formula feeds. There was a dust up. I think it was like a real like Stanford prison experiment kind of thing. Like the one who breastfed got real high and mighty about it and started pushing the other one around.
Yeah. 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 And just, you know, it's like I get mother's milk. You know, what do you get? Canned bullshit. You know? If you were a baby, you'd probably prefer to breastfeed without, if you take out all the Oedipal connotations, right. Like, let's say you just like, you got Freaky Friday into a baby and you had to choose, like, you know, I don't know though, man. 'Cause it's hot.
Like, it's body temperature.
Not, yeah. Hot is in, you know, hot. Sorry. It's warm. It came out of my body. Not
right.
Hot out of, you know, sexy. So who knows?
You are walking dangerous ground, my friend.
Just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I mean, any number of people can excerpt some bits of this. No, I mean, like, it is taking away any of the edible stuff about it, like food plus human contact. Okay, cool, fine. Yeah. Yeah. No,
I just, it's sometimes when, like, when I am at a breast, you know, I think about that, because it's like, I'd be real freaked out,
yeah,
if that were to happen out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, like, I would be freaked out. Just like any kind of surprise substance in my mouth would freak me out.
Yeah, yeah. Regardless, like a Hot Wheel came out, I'd be freaked out.
So that's where they come from. Yeah, it'd have to be a micro machine. Come on, a Hot Wheel would be way too painful.
Well, meet me with the kind of titties you're seeing. I don't actually have that brag in me. I just.
Jesus. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we're done. If you like the show, you can support us on Patreon if you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Also, big thanks to remind me one more time, sorry,
Melty Goblin
for donating during Duckstream.
Yeah,
we really appreciate that. We like that we are able to do this and still have bandwidth to do those kind of events.
Mm-hmm.
And we have more stuff like that planned. And it's the highlight of my year. And I really like that people support the Transactive Gender Center and support us.
Yeah.
I do have nice things to support.
Yeah. Keep your ear to the ground for more stuff like that coming in future.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you want to help spread the word, that is really the only way that we grow. So grab an episode. We have actually like a, if you go to thinkhapticsuffering.com/about or just whatever our about page is, there are episodes that are like good entry points or, you know, must listens that the fans have selected. That is a useful reference if you are trying to spread things around.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I think that's probably about it. Do you have, I mean, anything else?
No.
Yeah, really do appreciate it. And until next time, watch out for a baby dog.
I mean, yeah, specifically just watch baby dogs all the time. Oh, yes. No, you're not talking about puppies. You're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hybrids.
Yes.
Baby and dog hybrids.
Yes.
Aw. Still a good boy.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And because it's on public and on Facebook and stuff, I feel like I can announce this. As we're recording this just now, I just found out that a member of the network and good friend of mine, Nick Glauber, just got engaged.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations, yeah. Nick.
Congratulations, Nick. Yeah. I think he listens to the show. Congratulations to Nick and Carrie. That's fantastic. Yeah. If I'm telling tales out of school, I apologize, but I feel like it's probably not a secret engagement.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those things, you know, like if, you know, if it's on Facebook, and those things only exist when you have like parents who are Southern land barons and shit, you know. I feel like this is probably public knowledge, so
yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, so, well, fantastic news for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Bye
bye.